Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn over to 1 Kings and chapter 2. 1 Kings and chapter 2. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, What David Left His Son Solomon. And I've been thinking about it all week, and you know I could have 100 points in all reality. So I think I've narrowed it down to maybe 5. I may only preach 3. We'll see how the Lord leads this morning. Trust it'll be a blessing to you. Boy, if America needs anything, it needs godly fathers right now. And we heard a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, you can biologically make a baby, but that does not make you a father. We need godly men running households that bring glory to God, not dictators. I mean, we heard about balance this morning. Balanced men that know what to teach their sons and their daughters and the next generation. And I tell you, a lot of dads are AWOL. They're just not there. They may even physically be in the house, but they're not there. Whatever Junior wants, that's what we're going to do. It's amazing to me, and I've seen this now, 37 years here now, right? Where everybody's got something, not everybody. People have real strong convictions when their kids are little, and then when their kids get to be teenagers, it's like they're swayed. It's like they follow their daughter. They follow their son. It makes me think maybe those weren't convictions all along. Now, we need to stand for truth. My dad has always been my hero. 1965, I got the year down, I figured it out. I spent a little time remembering this situation. There was a couple of young men in my class. I was in Sioux Township School. I was in third grade. It was 1965, and they were bragging on their dads and what their dads did for a living and how much money they made. And I don't remember all the detail of the conversation. I remember it finally came down to this, and in frustration, I looked at them and said, "My dad could beat up your dad." Dad turned 82 on Friday. And in case any of those men are listening this morning to the radio broadcast, I want to tell you, my dad can still beat up your dad. Thank God for dad. There's a charge here and kind of a leaping off verse. And you know, I don't normally preach this way. And for me, it's hard to preach and not stay in a single text. Sometimes I struggle, and I do a little bit of stammering when I jump around like this, but I just want to lay some things out for you this morning, some thoughts, some things that God laid on my heart, and I hope I can convey them this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Kings. Why don't you stand with me out of respect for God's word? We'll not read many verses. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Look all the way down to verse 10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Father in heaven, we come to you again. We ask for your blessing upon the word of God. Take from my thinking, take from my thought process, anything that you don't want me to waste time or preach this morning, anything that may be tainted with my own flesh. And God, we ask that this morning you would take the word of God. You would direct me. May the Holy Spirit take over now. And God, we desire, I myself included, we want to hear from heaven. We want to hear from you. And so God, we pray your blessing upon what is now about to be preached. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. best thing you can do for your children and for the next generation is to live a godly, Jesus-first kind of life. That's the best thing you can do. We're going to talk a little bit about consistency this morning and doing the right things and doing it all the time. And it's a struggle. It is for all of us. But the best thing you can do is like David, be a man after God's own heart. Brother Bushy, you rang the bell this morning. He was seeking that. He was after that. It was a struggle in David's life as well. He was seeking after to be a man after God's own heart. After God's own heart. Think about that. The same desires as God. The same motives as God. He wanted to see this earth and his own life and the life of his family and his children through the eyes of God. He was a man after God's own heart. Didn't say he was sinless. Didn't say that he never did wrong. He did. We know that. But even after the great sin with Bathsheba, he was still a man after God's own heart. He confessed his sin. He repented. And God was able to use him again. Scars, yes, but God was able to use him again. I trust this morning as we look to the Word of God, you'll understand that your life is more than just about you. It's about the next generation. In fact, it's about those that are within your very household. Don't be about working all your life, working all kinds of extra hours so you leave your children money. That may be the worst thing you could leave them. It's good to be able to do that. I'm not downgrading that by itself. But if that's what you're doing, you're wasting your life as a father. Remember Curtis Hudson? How many of you ever heard Curtis Hudson preach? I remember hearing him say this one time. He said, listen, I don't want to leave my kids anything as far as money. Let them learn to trust God. Let them learn how hard it is to work, what hard work is. He said, I want to spend my last $1.25 on the last Big Mac, and I want to be eating that Big Mac when the big heart attack hits me and I drop dead. He said, I checked with my wife before I came to the platform. As far as being broke, we're right on schedule. The truth is, just leaving your children money, they're going to waste that all away, especially if you don't leave them the other things. Go back again, 1 Kings chapter 2. Let me read it again, and then I want to get to my little outline. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. Everybody's going to die. Death chases after all of us. The difference is, are you born again or you're not born again? If you're born again, man, you are going to live forever in all of eternity in God's glory. And what a day that's going to be. We sang about it this morning when we see Jesus face to face. So apart from the rapture of the church, which is going to happen any day, Sunday night, July the 1st, we start our prophecy series. It's going to happen any day. But apart from that rapture, all of us are going to go by way of the grave. We're going to go the way of man. David here says, I go the way of all the earth. Up in verse 1, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And I want to say this again. Be a dad. Be a father. Don't just be a wage earner. Don't just be the one that sleeps in the main bedroom of the house. Be a father. Instruct your children. May they see a godly lifestyle. Here's where everybody makes a mistake. Not everybody. Here's where so many make a mistake. They know, thus saith the Lord. And they'll even tell their kids from time to time, thus saith the Lord. And they'll bring them to a good Bible preaching church where they hear, thus saith the Lord. But then dad is as inconsistent as can be. And Junior sees that and he says, well, thus saith the Lord, that must just be for Sunday morning. You know, young people are following after you. Children are following after you. Verse 3, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou dost and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. In order to know prosperity, in order to know the full blessing of God, you've got to obey the Bible. He said, Solomon, be Bible-centric. Make the scripture the sole authority in your life. Really, it doesn't matter what the world says. Really, it doesn't even matter what dad says. What matters is what God says. It doesn't matter what you think or what I think. It's God's word. Here at Fundamental Baptist Church, we're a Bible-centric church. Preaching is really where it's at. Some of the preaching here is pretty poor, but preaching is where it's at. And the Bible is our sole authority. So, and David was teaching his son Solomon, son, stay with the Bible. Stay with the Bible and you'll never go wrong. The world's going to tell you all kinds, and the world is going to change, by the way. It'll change in a matter of months on what is right and what is wrong. He said, you don't want to go there. You plant your feet in and on the Word of God, and then you'll know the blessings of God. A couple of things. We'll go to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And you're going to have to turn in your Bibles quickly. I'm just going to pull a verse. I'm not taking it out of context. You'll have to go back and you'll have to check it out. But there's some things about David's life I want you to know. I want you to understand. David loved God. If I could just transfer my love for God to my children, man, they're on the way. If it, just so that it isn't cold and steely-eyed and do's and don'ts and no relationship. Man, I don't want that. I want my children to love God. John said, we have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in the truth. Man, I want my sons and I want my daughters, and they're not perfect, but they do. I want them to know what it is to walk hand in hand with God in this path, this pilgrimage of life. Because dad isn't always going to be there for them, but we have a heavenly Father that will always be there for them. Man, I want them to know God. I think it was last Sunday morning I shared this, and a couple of preachers that were here last week, they come up and said, man, that's it. You hit the nail right on the head. I can be studying for a message and God will feed my soul. And it's exciting. I can't sit down. I got to stand up, walk around my study. I got to go for a walk outside. I'm talking to God. Tears well up in my eyes. It's a great thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. And he blesses me and fills my cup to overflowing. Man, I can't wait to preach this on Sunday morning. And then I get here on Sunday morning and it's like, you know, it's there, but it's not there. You know, it's like some people aren't getting it, and I might be the problem, and maybe I'm somehow not able to, but I want to do that in the life of my children. I want them to see me laugh and weep and know victory and stand tall in defeat and live for the glory of God. I want them to see me and experience me even in defeat, to stand tall and give all the glory to God. Because every good thing that's ever happened to Tim Rader, it's all because of Jesus. All the nasty things, it's right here. It's because I took over. Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised unto them David to be their king. And this is said many times of David, but it's quoted here in the New Testament, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. I found a man in David that has my desires, my dreams. He sees this world and life like I see this world and this life through the eyes of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Foibles and mistakes and sin and all, but he was still a man after God's own heart. How many here are sinners this morning? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. If you're a real sinner, raise both hands. If you're a sinner, raise both hands and say amen. Amen. We're all there, right? Every single one of us. Did he raise his hand? Did he raise both hands? By the way, pray for Brother Bill. He's out in Montana preaching this morning. You know that, so I don't want to forget that. God help Pastor Bill as he preaches this morning. In Jesus' name. All right, I remembered to pray for him. I prayed earlier, but I wanted to pray in front of everybody, and I'm going to forget later on. And I can't count on him for anything. I know that, yeah. David loved God. Psalm 18, turn over there if you would. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. How many times in the Psalms David said, I love thee, Lord. With my whole heart, I love thee, Lord. I will love thee. He had a walk with God. He was a man after God's own. Hey, when's the last time you told God you loved him? You ask for a lot of things. When is the last time he heard you verbalize these words in a private situation, perhaps? God, I love you. I sure do love you, Jesus. Thank you. You know, if it weren't for God, where you would be? Go to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. This is a psalm I could preach. Maybe we'll just do one point here this morning. I owe God everything. Inside my house, I'm the head of my home. My home. God placed me there as the man, and the buck stops here. So when Sunday night comes around about 5:15, I say, and Debbie's the only one to lift me with me now, all the kids are gone. I say, Deb, get ready, we're going to church. And as early as I try to get here, she still tries to make me late. I want you to understand that. But say, we're going to church. It's always been that way. My kids, they were raised in my house. Always, we're going to church. I want them to see consistency. I want them to see that's something I can control, you see. I can't necessarily control their hearts, but I can control things. And that's part of the responsibility of being a dad. And after all that God has done for me, and these are just little things that I can do. And if I can't do them, and I love him because he first loved me. Man, I didn't even do that part right. He reached down to me. He's the one that came to Calvary. He's the one that visited this earth. Man, I couldn't know God without him. I couldn't keep the law. I couldn't even keep the Decalogue. I couldn't keep the first of the Ten Commandments. Because there's situations in my life, all through my life, where I bowed down to false gods. I needed a Savior. And we love him because he first loved us. I'm saved by grace. What a wonderful truth that is. Emily getting born again, it's all of grace. It's all of Jesus. He did all the work, and all I did was repent. That's all you did. You ask Jesus to come into your heart. I need you, Jesus. You get born again. It is of grace. It is free. And then after I'm saved, in spite of the fact that I'm still a sinner, God keeps blessing me. All he requires is my heart. I keep going back to him and say, God, it's me again. I sinned again. I did wrong. You know what he says when he sees a heart that's real? I forgive you, son, under the blood. In fact, when he sees me, he sees the only begotten Son of God. Not me, but through the prism of the blood of Calvary. What a great God we serve. Psalm 124, the sweet psalmist of Israel said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The psalmist said it twice. If it hadn't been for the Lord... You ever meditate on that? You know, I've been here 37 years, 61 years of age. I can look back in hindsight and I see a life chock full of blessings. All I had to do was stay faithful. Chock full, I mean, my cup is overflowing. If God takes me home today, I have no regrets in serving God. I'm sure hoping there's a whole lot more yet. You know, I'm in a few more years before other people take over here. But man, I have no regrets. God has been good to Tim Rader in spite of the fact that he's been a sinner all of his life and every breath that he ever breathed. I owe him everything. America needs godly men. David loved God. I remember hearing the story a long time ago of a man that had a real thirst for alcohol, and he left the house in the wintertime and started to walk through the snow to the local bar. And as he was walking through the snow to the local bar, he heard a voice said, "Daddy, don't step so big." And he realized it was his son. And he looked back over his shoulder and he saw his son walking in his, trying to walk in his very footprints that he was leaving behind in the snow. And God broke his heart because he realized where his life was leading his son. We have an awesome responsibility. If you're the head of the house and you don't love God more than anybody in your house, shame on you. You say, "Oh, that's spirituality, that's for my wife." You got to be kidding. You're not reading your Bible. Shame on you. You should be right up front, walking right up front. David left his son a great heritage. He loved God. We don't have time to turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We can turn there. I just can't preach it. Let's turn over there. 2 Samuel. I'm going to try not to preach it. Chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, then 12 through 17. David established the royal household. I'll not read it. You're going to have to read it later. I read it. I'm going to start preaching. I won't even get to the third point here this morning. Your house should honor God. Everything that goes on in your house ought to honor God. And you know who calls the shots concerning that? It's Father's Day. It's Dad. Scripturally speaking, biblically speaking, you are the head of the home. You are to be the spiritual leader of the home. Maybe that's why things are going wrong. You are to be the one to call the shots spiritually. Now you got a good wife. She's a wise wife. She's a spiritual wife. You lean on her. You don't be dumb. Don't think you're the dictator and everything, you know, you can call black, white, and everybody's got to believe it. Well, you're a fool if that's the case. But the fact is, you better have a heart for God, a love for God. You establish the household for the glory of God. They ought to hear Dad say, "Load up. It's time for church." Got your Bible? Straighten out your tie. Hey, get back there and comb your hair. I saw some of the kids this morning. They needed to be told that, all right? Get back there. Some of the dads. Wives, you need to take over sometimes if Dad's not getting it. And honey, go back and comb your hair, all right? Be that spiritual leader. Establish the royal household. And of course, he established Jerusalem as the holy city. It was in Hebron for I think 7 years. And then he got it to Jerusalem. And what a legacy that is. Psalm 84. Turn over to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I know you didn't read a verse of that. That's all right. Psalm 84, maybe verses 1, 4, and 2. I was in a public restroom in Sault Ste. Marie this last week, and a young man came in there, I don't know, probably 8 years old. You know, that's about the age I was when I got born again. So and I just, my heart goes out to kids about that age. And he was by himself there in the men's room, and he was trying to comb his hair. And then he's looking in the mirror, and he looked over at me and said, "Are you Pastor Rader?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "What's your name?" And he told me. He said, "I used to go to King's Kids there at Fundamental." Now, they live in the Sioux now. He said, "Man, it's good to talk to you. You know, you're born again." "Yeah, born again. Glad. He said, and then before I left, he was walking out, and he come back, and he looked up at me and said, "You know, Pastor, my mom listens to the radio broadcast every Sunday morning." And he left. And I stood there crying like a baby. What a privilege to serve God. You know, some people think that Kinross is Baptist country. Did you know that? And you know that why that is? It's because you're being faithful. Now, Kinross is not Baptist. That might be the problem, by the way. It needs to be New Testament Christian country is what it needs to be. The truth is, there's so many to reach all around us. I don't know what time I started, but I think I'm out of time as far as the radio already this morning. He established Jerusalem. He stamped out idolatry. You know Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 and 4, that speaks of having no other God, the Lord thy God. He's one God. We're not to have any idols before us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, John tags at the end of this epistle, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." Idols. They're all. We live in a culture of idols in every direction. Idols come in all shapes and sizes. Some idols are found in a bottle. Some are found in the eyes of a little six-year-old girl. Some are found on a stage where some performer is standing. Some idols are found in a stadium. Some are found in the mirror. Little children, keep yourself from idols. There were some things that David didn't get right. One thing he did, he stamped out the idols. He broke up the high places. He said, hey, Israel, there's one God. Monotheistic, there's one God. The Lord God Jehovah, and we serve him. Joshua chapter 24, we'll end with this verse. I'm sorry I didn't preach my message. He extended the borders of Israel. He was a song man. He sang. Joshua chapter 24. Got a bunch of other points. Don't get to preach them. But look at verse 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Pastor Josh read this morning. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He said, hey, listen, Israel, we got to get serious. It's time now to choose who we are going to serve. And Joshua said, you can serve the old gods of Egypt, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land we are right now standing. That's the culture that they were living in. Or you can serve the one true God of heaven. And look what he says here. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to, like David, extend the borders of Israel. We are here to fulfill the Great Commission. It's summertime and it's hot. For youpers, brother, this is hot right now. This is hot, right? This is hot. For summer, and sometimes in summertime, people go AWOL. And people kind of get away from being serious about serving God. We can't afford to do that because souls are in the balances. Remember what Jesus said? I will build my church. Psalm 2 and verse 8, David said, we're to ask of God and he would give us the heathen for our heritage. We need to do our best to win the United States of America to God, to win Michigan to God, 9.7 million people in this state. I think 325 million or thereabouts in the United States of America. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan, 311,361. It's the most recent number I got. 3% of the population of Michigan live in the Upper Peninsula. We're kind of small potatoes up here, but we like it that way. 311,361 people. Chippewa County, 38,030 people. It's a big county. You can go an hour in that direction. 38,030 people. How many live on your road, in the house right next to you, in your neighborhood? How many live in your house? And are there lost people there? Jesus said, you ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. Get after it. Man, Emily, glad you got saved. I've referred to you 3 times, and I'm doing this because I can tell you're a person that isn't easily embarrassed, right? Glad you got born again. I got saved in 1968. I've never regretted it, and you'll never regret it again. How many outside these four walls are not saved? You got to get after it. Maybe you're here in the auditorium this morning and you're not born again. Come to Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.